The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Next Best Thing with Linda C. Thompson. This show will intrigue and inspire you and keep you on the pulse of what's going on in healthcare, politics, the arts, and more. Now, here's your host, Linda C. Thompson.
Welcome to The Next Best Thing, and I'm Linda C. Thompson. The Next Best Thing covers the entire spectrum of experience. I would say human experience, but since Crystal the dog was on last week, I can't say that. Anyway, from lollipops to loving to healthcare to holiness, technology to twirling, if it's an issue to you, it's an issue to us, and we'll find those who know. And today, we have the incredible Matthew Peterson, author, best-selling author, award-winning author, children's fantasy, but much, much more than that. Matthew, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing, Linda?
Well, slightly crazed and demented, as you are. We were talking before the show started. let's see. You are best-selling author.
Yeah.
Known for your book, Para World Zero.
Yeah.
Public speaker.
Yeah.
You've been in schools, libraries throughout the country, and soon, I told you we plugged this for you, a host on Voice America.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I'm really excited. One of my favorite things to do is to speak, you know. I'm not, like, in love with my voice, but I do like to teach children as I go to school, and I like to speak and talk about various things. So it's kind of cool. I can be able to get a wide audience and talk about my books and also talk about other people's books and kind of a...
And talk about life and everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because... You know, with radio, you can talk about anything you want, really, under the sun. And there's
well, in this venue of radio, you can.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess we're not regulated. There's certain words I personally don't say, but
yeah.
Okay, let's tell you know, the Para World Zero was what launched you in a way. So tell us about that.
Well, Para World Zero is a young adult novel. I mean, the main character is Simon Kent. He is a nerdy boy. He's like 12 years old. He lives in New York. He's short, and he hates that. And some bullies are picking on him one day. And this girl with green hair that changes colors with her mood appears out of nowhere and saves him from the bullies. And she has these magical powers that are just out of control. She's wreaking havoc to the city. And she takes Simon to another world on accident, by, you know, and where he discovers...
On accident?
Yeah, not on purpose. And
tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, well, she's... It's kind of, you know, how I said that her magic just goes crazy. I mean, like, one of the crazy things she does...
Funny thing about magic, doesn't it?
There's a bull. One of the bullies is with them, and he is trying to basically take her wand from her. And they're fighting, and they're in a car, and they're being chased by all these army people because she. Some of the havoc that she has wrecked is she's created this giant fire breathing pigeon that's going through the streets of New York, and the dumpsters are like. You know, all of a sudden they have eggs, and they're like
York,
eating
having
cars.
Lived in New York, I know they do that. Go ahead.
So it's all crazy, and she has this special device that helps her to travel from world to world. Well, in the whole universe,
and
that's just
that
normal.
Device is. I mean, I did look it up, but I want you to say it.
The Para World, the Paraverse.
No, the device.
Well, the device is called a paratransmitter.
Mm-hmm.
A paratransmitter.
No, I mean, I already know the answer to this, but I want you to tell it. So the paratransmitter magic thingy is what?
It's kind of like, it's a device that allows you to transfer your body over into a special place called the Parastream.
I mean, is it like a wand,
a
baton, or...
Oh, yeah. The paratransmitter is like a book. And it's kind of like her... like her phone, you know, like her iPhone.
Oh, her iPod. I was going to say, or an iPod.
So there's like, it does like a million other things, you know. And, but one of the things it does is it transfers her to, you know, whoever's holding it to another, to this Parastream, where there's gateways all over the place, millions and millions of gateways, and every one of these gateways is another dimension, another world.
Do you think that's true?
No.
Why not?
Well, I can't say that there aren't other dimensions and other... I know there's got to be other worlds. Another,
I mean, Shambhala was, you know, hovers supposedly invisibly above Tibet.
Uh-huh.
Where, because everybody attained enlightenment and disappeared.
Oh.
On this plane. So, you know, why not?
Yeah, why not? It's one of those... It's a fun thing. And you never know. In fact, one of the things that I did is I kind of changed a little bit, and I actually did introduce God just slightly, and I said, well, just kind of in a fun way, and I said, well, perhaps God created, instead of expanding out throughout the universe, creating other worlds and stuff, why didn't he just create different dimensions and just use the same world as a template? You know, and so just in it... different dimensions, and you have different people living on those.
Okay, God using templates. I love it.
Yeah.
Whatever your definition or feeling or of God is, and using templates, that just cracks me up.
Yeah. There is a lot of humor in the book. You know, it's funny. I mean,
I noticed
throwing
that.
Pigeons going through the streets. And
well, you know, you gotta love to laugh.
And that's one of the things I tried to do, because I mean I started writing this book, you know, back when I was a little kid, back when I was 12,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of based the character off of me. I mean, I came from a family of 10 people, seven boys, and I was the runt. I'm the shortest one in the family, and so
don't
I hated
tell people
that.
And
so my main character, Simon Kent, you know, he was a runt. He's the runt. He's short, and he hates that, and unruly hair, and he just wants some friends. And I didn't.
Yeah, we do have these, like, socially defined standards of beauty and handsomeness and, you know, success and all that kind of stuff. And who made those rules up?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Time to change them.
And if we don't change them, they will change themselves.
I think that you know, lately, you know, we are getting books, we are getting the media, TV, movies, you know, much more open with, you know, having a character that's not a size zero, you know, as the main character, a female character. You know, we're getting a lot more broadened out, I guess, our...
I know, and it's so contradictory to me. And just when I'm shrinking into my dotage, not really dotage, but... size zero is passé. Oh, God.
Yeah. My characters are not terribly handsome, you know. The main girl is. She's very pretty, but Simon's just kind of, you know, he's just kind of a...
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Yeah, he's a good guy. But he's not like the most terribly handsome person in the world. And I have some older characters, and I even say one of them's nose is kind of a little crooked. And, you know, I mean, he's not. Looks like, you know, he's one of the main characters too. So I didn't really set out to, you know, go into that stereotypical. Oh, they must be, you know, the
best and the brightest and the beautiful
models.
And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like Hugh Jackman. Never mind. Okay.
I wouldn't mind if Hugh Jackman played that character in my book. Because I am a big Hugh Jackman fan. I love him. You know, so does my wife.
He's such a hunk. Anyway, never mind.
Well, Wolverine, you know, hello.
Oh, I mean, and, you know, he and Daniel Craig on Broadway in Steady Rain, I'm going to drool.
Yeah. He's a good actor. I like it. He's a good actor.
He is actually
I like the
a
role.
Good actor. We actually know friends in common, so it's cool.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's not get off the track of Hugh Jackman, because we're here about you. Now, you created a video trailer.
Yeah. Created a video trailer. I do. That's one of my little pastimes. I like to do video editing, and I'm not so great with music, but my wife is. So we actually created the music. We created I got some friends to act out some of the parts, and so we did a video trailer for the book,
How did that help you?
How did that help me?
Mm-hmm. In terms of the book.
Oh, you know, it was really fun, though. I mean, it was great because it helped people to find out about the book, you know, because it's posted on YouTube and other places. So thousands of people have gotten to see the trailer, and then they say, hey, I saw your trailer. In fact, what's funny is I was at, like, the Book Expo America, and someone...
Yeah, I was there, too. It must have been in different rooms.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. I mean, we got, like, 20, 30,000 people there, and someone came up to me, and I was playing my trailer. I was at a booth, and I was playing my trailer there, and they said, I saw that trailer.
I think that video, movies, they're becoming books.
Yeah.
You know, it's like writing in visual form.
We're in a more visual age. You know, especially for younger audiences. I mean, they're... You know, the graphic novels and the comic books are so huge now, there's less writing on them, but, you know, we're just, you know, kids today especially, they're just boom, boom, boom. They need something quick. They're very visual. They've all got their phones with the video cameras and the pictures. And
amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I try to do, is to cater for that. And it's fun, too, because, you know, I think most authors have the dream that someday their book will become a movie, and it's also given me something to talk about as I go to schools, because a lot of the kids have seen the trailer and they're all like, "Can I be in the movie?" And
I know.
Like, sure.
Yeah, please. My hands up, please, please, please.
You find someone willing to pay for it, yeah.
Now, in doing this audiobook, you and your wife came up with over 100 voices.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we want to talk about that. And, can we hear a few? we have to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll hear some of those voices or how you came up with them.
All right, I'll try.
ask me to help. Just please, 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 please.
I'll do it.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. TriEye is passionate about our credibility and the reputation of our clients. We build long-term value-added relationships, optimize social capital and bottom-line results. TriEye features the three I's. Insight. Identifying client vision, strategy, and goals. Designing perfect programs and invigorating individuals, teams, organizations. Inspiration. Enlivening vision, strategy, and goals in the heart, mind, spirit of all in the organization. Implementation. Pragmatic results, outcomes, and plans for follow-through. For follow-up and an assessment of our success, visit TRIIST.com today. Acclaimed author, playwright, poet, singer, actor, and beauty, Linda C. Thompson is the double, triple threat. You can anticipate a stunning performance in her next three books already in the works. Psst, her personal next best thing? She's in training to be a horse whisperer. For more information about Linda C. Thompson and to view her blogs, check out her podcasts, and connect with her community, visit www.lindasworlds.com. Again, that's lindasworlds.com. Listen for MD Radio on Voice America.
That's Muscular Development Radio.
Every Monday, your hosts Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler will take you inside the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. The show will feature Hall of Fame bodybuilders, trainers, judges, and the future champions of tomorrow. Plus, you'll be invited to participate in our call-in Ask the Pros feature. And our nutritional spotlight will feature products that can help you achieve your fitness goals. MD Radio is broadcast live Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific on Voice America.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. You're enjoying The Next Best Thing with host Linda C. Thompson, a show that sorts out this confusing, complex world by keeping you one step ahead of the game. Let's continue our discussion. Here's Linda C. Thompson.
Welcome back to The Next Best Thing, and I am Linda C. Thompson, and we're having delightful conversations with Matthew Peterson. Peterson! I told you over the break that I nicknamed him in my mind, Perry, Matthew Perry. So, Peterson.
There could have been some worse things you could have nicknamed me.
But we won't go into that. Or we could. Anyway, before break, we were going to talk about voices.
Oh, boy.
Yes, voices. You said they were demented or crazy or whatever. And I said, good. First of all, tell us how you created them.
Well, one of the things I did as I doing the audio book, I just started reading it and doing the trying to do the voices as they came along. And then I realized there's no way I'm going to remember all these voices doing that. And so I decided to take the long route, and that was I went through my entire book, broke out each character, got all their lines of dialogue into one document, you know, with a little bit before and after, so I knew exactly what was going on. And then I just went to town and just went into the mode of that character and said all of his lines of dialogue throughout the whole book in one go. And then as I did the narration, I would pause and then paste that little line of dialogue in there as I went. So that way the it was true throughout the entire book. Because we had like 100 character voices, you know, and my wife actually did the female voices, and I did the male voices. And there was a lot more male voices, I guess.
Well, you know what I'm going to ask you now.
You would like a voice?
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, I'll do one of the bad guys. His name is Lord Valen.
I read that. I didn't hear him, but I read it.
Yeah, he's kind of a crazy guy. He's kind of rash.
Like Lord Vader.
I know, Lord Vader. All right, here's his voice. What should I say? Do you want to give me a sentence and I'll say it?
No, I just wanted to say whatever comes to you.
All right.
As long as you don't use curse words.
And he actually does say Tanya Burke. So, Tanya. So that's kind of one of his voices. And I have another character, and he's kind of...
Ooh, cool!
He's kind of a crazy guy.
We want more?
He's kind of a short guy. And here, I haven't done these voices in months, so bear with me.
We're bearing. Come on.
Hello, I'm Thornapple Trudel.
Kind of sounds like a parrot a little bit.
So I'm talking with Linda Thompson here. How are you doing, Linda?
A parrot with its nose, you know, if it could hold his nose.
Yeah.
A sort of nasal parrot.
Yeah. And then his dad has a similar voice.
Well, you know, sweetie. Hello, Linda Thompson. How are you doing today?
So his voice is a little bit similar to his son's voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of those accents are a little recognizable in culture groups.
Yeah, yeah. When I do this one, I'm going to do one more, and I do this at schools, and it's fun because I love this voice, and he's such a fun character, but he is a culture person, and I will say the line, and I'll give you a little background. The reason why I put this character in my book, his name is Abu. I put this character in my book because I literally did talk to someone, and they said this to me. And so I'm like, oh, I have to put that in my book because it was so fun. He's a cab driver. He's Abu. Oh, my golly golly.
I love that accent.
Oh, my golly golly. How
really
are you doing?
Do.
I'm speaking with Linda Thompson. How are you doing today?
They speak English better than we do.
Yeah, and I literally had someone say that to me. Oh, my golly golly. He was Indian, and it was just the greatest thing, greatest guy, and I'm like, oh, you must be in my book.
People from India speak with a British accent.
Yeah.
And better than the Brits? Uh-oh, I just got in trouble, I'm sure. But anyway, so impersonate a female voice in your book.
A female voice? Oh, I'm not as experienced with female voices. But
no, that's okay, make it.
Okay. Well, Linda Thompson, how are you doing? Linda, I'm on Linda Thompson's show today. I guess about the closest I could do it.
Oh, my God. I feel like I've just been asked for a date.
Oh, no.
I don't date married men. Sorry.
But those are some of the voices. But there's a lot of them. Some of them are, like, way out. Like, I can go pretty deep. And I can...
Like? Okay, now, you know when he said go pretty deep. Come on, give it
all
up.
Right,
give
all
it
right.
up.
Here we go.
Hello. My name is Grodd.
That's one of the characters. He's a giant.
Mm.
That's a very
we just won't have a wee bit of the Irish there, will we?
Oh, and that was the hardest one of all. That was the absolute... I do have one guy, his name's Thomas McRae, and it was so difficult to do an Irish accent or a... Scottish accent, whatever.
Well, they're different.
Yeah, they are different, and there's so many different dialects of there. You know, and I have some friends that are from Ireland, and I have some from England, and I have some from it just depends on where they live in the town. You know, all these different dialects, and that was the hardest one of all.
Yeah,
to that voice. I mean, he's an older man, so I had to.
An older man, Irish. Okay, I'm not sure even I can do that.
I had some older characters and some younger characters. It was fun, though. That was a total blast. I was actually more probably excited for the audiobook because it was just fun to do than the the other book. Oh, the physical book is fun, but I'm a real big audio fanatic. I love audio.
You know, and it's true that not only audio but fun. There, the adage, laughter, the best medicine, there's research to back that up. There really is. So it's a healing thing. It's a healing thing. It's a healing thing.
Well, I like it because I used to drive 2 hours a day. And one day, and I hated the drive. I just hated it. It was so monotonous every single day. And then one day, I just all of a sudden... got an audiobook. I'd never listened to audiobooks before, and I popped one in. I was like, oh. Now it got, after a couple of years of this, it got to the point where, like, I'd get home, and I'd stay in the car for a few minutes, you know?
Once I decided I was going to do the same thing, and I was going to learn French while I drove, I got so into learning French that I got lost. My commute... was, shall we say, extended extensively.
And you're asking people for directions, and they're like, I don't speak French. Sorry. You're just in the mode.
You have not only done narration, but in your promotion, you're touring. and doing a number of guest spots, internet and terrestrial radio stations. Who knew? So tell us about those.
Well, that was a very fun experience, but it was really chaotic. It was crazy because, like, one morning I did, I don't remember exactly, I think I was booked for 16 radio shows in one day, one you know, several-hour block, and it was just one after the other.
They put you in a room, right, and then you have to remember who's radio.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was like, who am I talking to? What state is this one in? You know,
and, don't you hate that?
Yeah, and what was the thing I hated the most is that I knew one of them was really big. You know, they had like 200 different, you know, offshoots from it, and I knew it was really big, and I didn't know which one that one was going to be. And at least they estimated between 5 and 6 million people heard me that just that day alone on the radio. But and it was fun. It was very fun. I mean, they gave me a warning. Hey, this host sometimes can be you know, aggressive and
no,
be
no,
careful
I'm sorry.
because they might start making fun of you or whatever. That, you know, like, oh great, you know. But we got along just great. It was great. I loved it. And then the TV, I've done TV interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Just did one a month or two ago on PBS in Arizona. And they're just fine. Fortunately, you know, when I was younger, I would practically hyperventilate when I got in front of people to talk.
Oh, no!
So scared. You know, just I couldn't even breathe. And then something happened. Something clicked as I got older. And now I don't get scared. And so I can get in front of an audience of 500 kids and just talk and share jokes, and I don't get scared anymore. So that's a great theme. You know, that helps me to get out in front of people.
Well, you know, that jitters really does help, because you got the, you know, that thing called adrenaline going.
Yeah, yeah. Except for when you can't breathe. Like when I was a kid, I was like, oh, I can't even. I remember getting up in front of people and talking and, like, you know, I'm just like, I've seen people get up in front of people and start talking, and I've seen 3 people faint before.
Because oh, my
they,
God.
They lock their
and they
legs.
Go, and,
these
and,
are
then the, and then there was the people that go,
yeah.
And their voice shakes.
Yeah, they lock their legs and they stop breathing and. But, you know, I enjoy it. I went to Canada, I went to New York, I went to Colorado, and one of the Carolinas, North Carolina, went to a whole bunch of different states, and it was a blast to be able to speak to all the different people in different states and different cultures.
You know, we're coming up to a break, but before, I have to confess that I love cameras, I love studios, I love stages. I always have. There must be something wrong with my character.
It'll be in some musicals or something.
I've done that too. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, so here we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, you not only have come up with these voices, done TV, radio interviews, but then there was the struggle of the publisher and the agent.
Yes.
So we definitely want to hear about that.
Okay. It's like an old wound.
It only hurts if you press it, like a bruise.
Yeah.
In just a minute, we'll be back with Mormon Next Best Thing. Thank you so much, Matthew Peterson. We'll be back in just a minute.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
TriEye is passionate about our credibility and the reputation of our clients. We build long-term value-added relationships, optimize social capital and bottom-line results. TriEye features the three I's. Insight, identifying client vision, strategy, and goals, designing perfect programs, and invigorating individuals, teams, organizations. Inspiration, enlivening vision, strategy, and goals in the heart, mind, spirit of all in the organization. Implementation, pragmatic results, outcomes, and plans for follow-through. For follow-up and an assessment of our success, visit TRIIST.com today. Acclaimed author, playwright, poet, singer, actor, and beauty, Linda C. Thompson is the double, triple threat. You can anticipate a stunning performance in her next three books already in the works. Her personal next best thing? She's in training to be a horse whisperer. For more information about Linda C. Thompson and to view her blogs, check out her podcasts, and connect with her community, visit www.lindasworlds.com. Again, that's lindasworlds.com. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Do you lack energy and enthusiasm? Do you really want to change your thoughts and feelings? Can you really stay sane when your life isn't? Of course you can, just by listening to Stay Sane Now each week with Claudine Struck and co-host Wesley Stoller. You'll have fun and learn how to make each new day the best day of your life. Every show is designed to energize and get you started off on the next week. Stay Sane Now is broadcast live Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific on Seventh Wave Network.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Enjoying The Next Best Thing with host Linda C. Thompson, a show that sorts out this confusing, complex world by keeping you one step ahead of the game. Let's continue our discussion. Here's Linda C. Thompson.
Welcome back to The Next Best Thing. I'm Linda C. Thompson, your host. We're having wonderful discussions with Matthew Peterson, author of Paraworld Zero, best-selling author, placed our one mini contests. Now, we said before break we were going to talk about the agent struggle, so we have to do that. But over break, we chatted and decided to do something a little bit different after that. So, Matthew, tell us about your struggles to get an agent, publisher. You lost the publisher with the economy, and then the contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a story about that. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I had no idea, you know, how long it takes to get an agent, to get a publisher. I mean, I was just writing a book. You know, I was excited. I mean, I started this book in 1990, and, you know, I lost it because of a computer crash. Years later, picked it back up, you know, wrote it. I turned to my wife, it was like fall, and I said, hey, do you think we can get this published by Christmas so I can give it out to my friends? You know, that was like 2 months from now. Had no idea. And then I started sending out query letters, sending out letters to agents. You know, some of them took months to get back with me. And so I got so frustrated with many of them didn't even respond to the letters. And I followed all the rules because I'm a little bit OCD with, you know, following exact rules and all that. And
yeah, except the rules have changed.
They have changed. They have changed. But I did, so I decided, you know, there are some publishers, some smaller publishers, that are willing to take a book without an agent. So I did the research, and I actually, which what was really ironic, I found a publisher that I really liked, and I really thought it would be a good fit for my book. And so I sent them a letter. And then I gave them a 2-week, you know, head start because they were the one I wanted. And so I sent out like another 50 letters, you know, the 2 weeks later. And at least a third of those didn't even respond to the letters.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, these are just letters. You're just like one-page letter. But this first one, they actually said, you know, hey, don't even send us a letter. Just send us the book, the whole book. They were like one of the only publishers that said, just send us the whole book. And so
cool.
I ended up getting, you know, not too much success with any of that. You know, it was just, they were all very small publishers. And I pretty much, I wrote their name on the board, the publisher that I wanted, and a year later, and it was on my whiteboard for a year, and 1 week later, I got a phone call.
Mm.
Hello, we'd like to publish your book, and it was that publisher that I wanted. So, you know, that seems like a dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
The nightmare began.
Okay.
Well,
we're in October. Let's hear the nightmare.
Yeah. So. Oops. Sorry. Let me get my one second. My voice. I have 5 boys, so this is what happens when you have
like
5 boys.
The dulcet tones of your co-host.
And it looks like my 2-year-old just discovered the phone. All right, where was I?
you gotta love real life, real time.
So everything was kind of fine and dandy. Everything was great. And, you know, they told me all the great things that would be happening, and I actually helped with the book cover, And I worked the contract myself, you know, and was able to keep some of the things like the audiobook rights. I wanted to do the audiobook myself. I knew I wanted that, so I kept that. As the time goes on, everything was going really well, and I started to get a bunch of money from a business that I had started. I'm like, well, I got some money now. I would like to really promote this thing now, you know, and I was really all gung-ho with promoting it a lot myself. And I was keeping my publisher in the loop with all that I was doing. I mean, I did like a $100,000 promotion campaign, just going, just anything you can think of promotion-wise, I did it. I had a billboard on the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I gave out 4,000
balloons.
I gave out 1,000
giant
books.
Balloons.
And I did, if you can think of it, I did it. Flyers, just
mm-hmm.
tens
mm-hmm.
of thousands. So just before the book, you know, the book is going to be edited and coming out. Well, my editor goes into a coma. And she,
I mean, a real coma?
A real coma.
Or just, you know.
She's in a coma for several days.
A real coma?
A real coma.
Oh, no.
And so my book does not get edited.
Oh, no.
And, you know, this is my very first book, too. You know, so as all authors, you know, you really do need an editor for your first book. But I had gone...
No kidding.
I had paid someone to edit it, you know, one of the very first drafts, and we've made some changes since then. So that was one of the first strikes. I'm like, okay, well, my book really didn't get edited. But it's still, I mean, it's won awards. It hit a couple bestseller lists. So, I mean, I still am confident in the book, but that was one thing I was kind of looking forward to. So about a month before the book comes out, I've got just promotions. I mean, I had an ad in the New York Times. I mean, I had so much stuff going on. I start getting phone calls from librarians. And they're like, we're trying to pre-order your book, but, you know, the distribution centers say that it's not available. It's not even, we don't even see it.
That distribution thing, a
like,
whole different
not,
thing.
It wasn't even, like, listed correctly or whatever
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. And I'm like, I'm just going crazy. And basically what happened was that my book did really well the very first month. It, you know, hit the BarnesandNoble.com bestseller list. It hit the Amazon.com bestseller list. That just sold tons of books right at the get-go. And then literally 2 weeks, 3 weeks into it, no more books. All the books.
The book went into a coma.
Yeah, the publisher went into
I
a coma.
Not
they were not fulfilling orders. And so I start getting calls, and I start doing books. I'm like traveling across the country. You know, I'm in front of 500 kids, and the librarian's like, we tried to order your book. We couldn't. It's on back order. And so it's like, just imagine what I was thinking. Pull my hair out. That's how crazy it was. And basically not a single book was ever printed and given to a distributor after the first month.
Really. Oh, no.
Really. And, I mean, I had months. I had a half a year later, and I was checking Ingram's computers, and even a half a year later, there were still back orders, people still ordering it, trying to order it at least. And what was sad is I had friends tell me that, you know, they ordered it online to Barnes & Noble and Amazon, and they got emails saying, sorry, the book is not available. We can't get it in stock. And
yeah.
You didn't have to cancel your order. Needless to say, a lot of books were sold, you know, the first print run, of course. You know, it was gone. But after that, they ran out of money, and the economy killed them. They didn't even really pay me. And so,
the distributor is a whole different world.
Yeah, yeah. And my publisher, they ran out of money. They couldn't pay me. They couldn't, you know, they had to fire a lot of their staff. And so I feel really bad because of the economy really did kill them.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of books were sold. And so I suffered because of that. Fortunately, I had kept the audiobook right. And I was in the process of doing the audiobook, and I mentioned I was at the Book Expo America. Sony, one of the directors of Sony, came up to me and almost on the spot got the ebook right, and then soon right after that, Audible.com, I contacted them and they said, yeah, sure, go ahead, let's do your book, and so. My book is on Audible, audiobook is on audible.com and several other places, and the latest one is Overdrive, because a lot of libraries use Overdrive now. You can just check out a book online now. It's the coolest thing. I did it for the first time last week. And
it's
now,
very cool.
Yeah, now my book is on there, and I'm excited for that. And so at least it's still out there, you know, in a digital format.
Our interview is on iTunes.
Oh, yes, it is. And
yeah.
My audiobook is on iTunes, too.
I hope they clean it up in the network, in the studio, because we're just having too much fun.
Yeah. So, we'll probably talk about this. I had some more struggles a little after that, but I started writing the second book, you know, because I'm like, okay, now's the time. I'm going to write the second book. I did get an agent. Just for a very short while. Just a very short while. Problem was is that there are so many things going on with my book, the rights being tied up. I did get my rights back, but I didn't have a second book, and so my agent and I, we parted ways. She was a big agent. She's an agent for Orson Scott Card. But we just went our separate ways, which is probably for the best. But I do have my second book, and I finished writing it, finished editing it. I love it. I love the book.
Cool.
Even better than the first one. It's great. I'm still getting libraries calling me up who do have my book. Saying, you know, the kids are just last week.
Yeah, they stock them.
Yeah, the kids are like, they're asking me when your second book's coming. You know, when's your second book coming? Every week someone comes in asking. So, but I don't have a publisher or an agent right now for that. That'll be my next step, going through that, the whole process all over again.
Well, we're coming up to a break, but I want to share a story that when I was doing the query letter and the agent and all that kind of stuff, I actually sat in front of, I was in a meeting with the famed William Morris Agency, and they put a contract on the table. Now, I have an MBA as well as a, you know, master's in creative writing, so I read the contract. And I looked at them and I said, you mean you get people to sign this?
Oh, no.
And they said, well, yeah. And I said, why? And they said, well, because we're the William Morris Agency.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm going to be sued now, but anyway.
Oh, so funny. Well, boilerplate contracts are, you do need to look at them. You can change them.
And you have to, and you have to understand that kind of stuff. You know, you really have to need an attorney that understands rights, foreign rights, domestic rights, intellectual property rights, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
A free attorney is best.
Free is always good.
I know, I have one. My oldest son. Anyway. Now, we were going to talk about, even though we didn't plan on talking about, you interviewing me now. I'm not sure we're going to have time for that, but we'll do our best.
All right.
When we come back from our break, it seems that your house burned down.
Yep.
At some point. So let's get through the struggle part so we can get on to the fun part.
All right.
Yeah. And now in, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with Matthew Peterson and more, The Next Best Thing.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
TriEye is passionate about our credibility and the reputation of our clients. We build long-term value-added relationships, optimize social capital and bottom-line results. TriEye features the three I's. Insight, identifying client vision, strategy, and goals, designing perfect programs, and invigorating individuals, teams, organizations. Inspiration, enlivening vision, strategy, and goals in the heart, mind, spirit of all in the organization. Implementation, pragmatic results, outcomes, and plans for follow-through. For follow-up and an assessment of our success, visit TRIIST.com today. Acclaimed author, playwright, poet, singer, actor, and beauty, Linda C. Thompson is the double, triple threat. You can anticipate a stunning performance in her next three books already in the works.
Psst, her personal next best thing?
She's in training to be a horse whisperer. For more information about Linda C. Thompson and to view her blogs, check out her podcasts, and connect with her community, visit www.lindasworlds.com. Again, that's lindasworlds.com.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're enjoying The Next Best Thing with host Linda C. Thompson, a show that sorts out this confusing, complex world by keeping you one step ahead of the game. Let's continue our discussion. Here's Linda C. Thompson.
Welcome back to The Next Best Thing, and I'm Linda C. Thompson. We're having wonderful conversations with Matthew Peterson and his book, Paraworld Zero, and books in the works. But before break, we said we're going to talk about something a little bit hot. I don't mean to do that. I'm sorry. I can't help it. So you had a house fire. Your house burned down.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Oh, man. You know, and I was at a book convention. I was actually one of the guests at a book convention doing book signings and talking and stuff like that. And I, like I said, I just finished my second book, literally that week, just finished editing it. The last day of the convention, I come home to my house, I open the door, and from the top to the bottom is smoke. Just the entire house is full of smoke.
Everyone was safe?
Everyone was safe. Everyone was totally safe. However, the entire house, our neighbors said they smelled smoke for over an hour. What had happened is our kitchen had caught on fire, burnt down. So much smoke had come into the house that it didn't have any more oxygen.
Yeah.
It burnt itself out, and but then the smoke sat there and got hotter and hotter and hotter, kind of like Backdraft in the movie Backdraft. And you know, when we opened the door, when the firemen opened the door, the fire came back up again, and pretty much everything in the house was lost. Our entire house was lost.
Oh, no.
We're in a rental home right now and you know, kind of working with the insurance company, which is not fun.
No.
And we could, it could be another year. It could be forever because they're going to have to gut that theme all the way out.
I mean, did you lose the books?
I lost everything. Yeah, the book.
Oh, no.
I lost.
Oh, no,
but my book that I had written, I'm smart. I kept backups online and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so I did have that. Yeah. And what was what was even worse is like the next day I got called to jury duty.
Oh, pile on. Crazy. Let's just pile it on.
Yeah. But then something good happened. A couple of days later after that, Voice America called me up and said, would you like to be a host for Voice America for a new show that we're wanting to do where you'd be interviewing popular authors? Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's fun. That sounds like a great thing. I'm, really swamped right now, and I really kind of thought about it, and I do know authors.
I cough a lot because of the smoke, but no,
yeah.
I'm teasing.
Yeah, I mean, I do know authors. I go to conventions, and I do have a lot of, friends, and I thought, I just finished my second book. I need to get an agent, need to get a publisher, and one of the biggest things they look for is a platform. What's
mm-hmm.
your platform? I do have a platform, but I think this will help to increase that platform and help me to, sell books, of course, sell my own book and be able to hopefully get another publisher and another agent. I haven't even started yet, looking for agents or publishers because I've been so swamped with all this. But
all businesses are hurting.
Yeah.
So,
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
But it's fun though because I'm going to be interviewing Anne Rice, who wrote the Vampire movie.
Oh, never mind. Okay.
Terry Pratchett,
mm-hmm.
the Discworld series, and Owen Coffer, who did the Artemis Fowl, and he's continuing the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and just all these great authors that I get to talk to and interview, and it's a really great thing to be able to do because I knew a lot of these authors, like Diana Gabaldon. She was one of the first people I called because I knew her and Meg Cabot. It's great to be able to do this and I know you've been doing it. You've been able to interview people, and you never know what the interview is going to be like.
Well, that's why I wanted to do the next best thing on the Variety Channel because I love so many things. From health, really, and know so many people in different industries, different endeavors, et cetera, that I wanted to be free.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I could have done a business thing, show, easily, but it wasn't near as much fun. I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't get to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad you are talking with me.
So tell us about this show you're launching.
Well, the show is called The Author Hour, and you can actually get a sneak peek at my website of all the authors. There's like over 50 authors this season, and they're all best-selling, award-winning, the Newbery Awards. But go to theauthorhour.com,
mm-hmm.
and you can see all the authors. I'm going crazy. I'm interviewing 4 authors per episode. And so I'm kind of coupling the authors. Like the very first episode is a humor. So I got Piers Anthony and Terry Pratchett and Owen
Sure.
So I have a vampire one with, Charlene Harris and Laurel K. Hamilton and Anne Rice might not be on that one actually. She might be on
Please allow me to introduce myself. Never mind.
Yeah, so it's going to be great fun, but I'm going to kill myself doing this,
No. You're not going to kill yourself. You're going to put it on the whiteboard and say, this is fun. This is fun. I love this.
I'm enjoying this. Well, for this first season, I'm killing myself. The next one, I might only do 2 authors.
It just feels that way.
Yeah, well, these authors are not, like Anne Rice has sold 100 million books. She's not exactly the easiest person to, to get an interview with.
Sure.
You
got to go through doors and doors and doors.
Yeah, yeah. Terry Pratchett is one of the most read authors in the world.
Sort of a para-world zero thing.
Yeah. Let me give you this paratransmitter and let's move on to another
thing. Para-world doors.
Yeah. So it has been a lot of work, but it's great because I've actually already started to talk with some of these authors and do some of the, you know, talk with them. And it's going to be a great show. It will be the hottest show around.
Speaking of Alfars, no, I'm teasing. I should not have said that.
The hottest show around for speculative fiction, fantasy, science fiction, horror. It'll be the hottest radio show in the world with all these authors. It'll be great.
No doubt, and especially with you hosting it.
Thank you.
I can't wait to listen in. I know that one of the biggest thrills that I had was Rebecca Reed's call my book, I Am My Own Dragon, a masterpiece of literary fiction.
Oh, nice.
Now, if it's in a check, I'd have been happier. But but to get to write something that anybody calls a masterpiece is a real thrill.
Oh, yes. That's great. That's exciting to get a nice blurb like that.
It really was very cool. So give us our final words of advice. There are people that, don't have the coin to promote, and yet they're talented writers. They're talented children's writers. What would you say to them?
I would say persevere. I mean, I started my first book in 1990, and it took me a year to finally get that letter back from a publisher saying, yes, we'll do it. Persevere and keep going. Don't give up, because there are a lot of authors out there that aren't published because they perhaps give up.
Well, I think that writers write because they have to. I mean, I was doing a corporate career, and I had to write.
Yeah.
And then the characters wake me up in the middle of the night. Anyway, so, Matthew, thank you so much for being on The Next Best Thing, and your radio show will be hot, 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 hot.
Yeah, Thursdays at 9 in the morning Pacific time.
We cannot wait to listen in. So thank you so much for being on The Next Best Thing. And next week, we're going to start the two-part series on music. And next week will be Mark Evans. Back in the days when they printed records, he was with AC/DC and it went platinum. Now he's into the blues. Another Australian. I really have to, meet these guys. So, and then after that, we'll have a Tony Award winner. So it's going to be very cool. Matthew, thank you again so much. And be sure and tune in next week to The Next Best Thing.
Thank you, Linda.
Thanks again for joining us for The Next Best Thing. Linda C. Thompson will be back for another exciting edition next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until then, have the best week.